Welcome in to the Point to Post podcast. I'm your point guard, Toby Miller, with the postman, Eric Sweet. And Sweet, what can you tell us about that fine hat that you're wearing? That kind of looks like a mixture of a dad hat mixed with a coaching hat, but it has a nice logo on the front of it.
Can you define a coaching hat for me, please?
When I think of coaching hat, I think of a dad that is coaching anywhere from T-ball to Little League, and the back of the hat is mesh because that's the cheapest hat option that they could get at the local store.
Okay, yeah, it is mesh on the back. All right, you're right. But just a little logo right there. Got a little bing bong action, got a little P2P point to post podcast. We're starting to get the gear going, and this is one of the things I got going. A little leather front on it. Like it. Saw some bing bong action that I like, and trying to rock it when I can.
You rock it well, Sweet, especially if you're coaching Little League Baseball in that hat. You could get away with that for sure.
Well, I'm not sure I can do a bing bong in Little League Baseball, so I'll just stick to the basketball sidelines and try to use it there.
Are you sure you're going to stick to the basketball sidelines? Because I'm pretty sure that tackle football started up. If you don't know this, Sweet coaches some fifth and sixth grade tackle football for Oak Harbor with his sons.
Yeah, that did start up, and it's a different world, you know. The structure of football is completely different than the structure of basketball. I can't just tell the kids to adjust and play and get through things. You have to be more organized, and calling a play every time for the football is a world that I had to figure out last year for the first time. I try not to call a lot of plays in basketball. I try to let my kids get up and down and play freelance and flow, and that's basketball. But football, you have to have a play. You have to have kids lined up in a certain spot. So it's been a change. It's been a challenge for me because it's a different mindset for sure from basketball to football. But I enjoy doing it because I got two little boys that love it. And so one day Toby would be on the side, or on football sidelines or baseball, or who knows, if he has a little girl, he'd be doing cheerleading maybe.
I'll tell you this much, there's going to be a golf club in their hands right away or a tennis racket or something that is not going to result in them being injured. Because me and my girlfriend, you know, Sweet, we're getting a little serious now. We actually had a conversation the other day about football, and I'm like, it would be my worst nightmare to like be up there on Friday night and have my son be the one that's down on the field, like laying down there. Like, I would not do well with that. I would really struggle with that. Obviously not going to push my kid away from football. Footballs, there's nothing like Friday Night Lights, but I'm just like, I got that protective dad in me a little bit still. But talk a little bit about the organization aspect across sports. I think that's something that's important when you coach basketball is the organization and the flow of your practice. I think that's something that's transferable across almost every sport. Talk a little bit about that.
I 100% agree with you. And that's something that I, as a coach and been a head coach now for 15 years, it's something I bring to the table. I have a practice plan every single day. I know it's fifth and sixth grade. I know it's fourth grade bitty basketball. I know it's a JV. I don't care what it is. I have a practice plan. When I go coach this tackle football, or where I coach my son's fourth grade AAU team, or coach the fifth grade Oak Harbor basketball team, I have a practice plan. And that's something that I've always had. My dad always had it. I'm assuming your dad did too. So I remember growing up looking at practice plans, and we had it broken down minute by minute. And I think all great coaches have that. And that's something I bring to the table. I remember last year when we started practice with this football, I had a couple of new guys, and I print off the practice plan for them and handed it to them. They're like, "What's this?" I'm like, "It's a practice plan." They're like, "You're printing it off." I'm like, "Dude, this is what I do. Like, I make a practice plan, I print it off, and here's what we're doing." And it's very similar. We do stations, we do teamwork, we do individual work. It's very much same breakdown as a basketball. The difference is I had to learn some new drills for football and things like that. But even when I did some baseball when I was younger, or when the boys did baseball, I would have a practice plan there too. Practice plans are a must have, and coaches that don't have them and just roll the ball out, it frustrates me if they're able to win that way, because I don't think it's good coaching style.
There's something to be said for having, like you said, you like to get let your kids get up and down in basketball, let them have freedom. But ultimately, as a coach, you're an extension of like a teacher. Like you're teaching them what it means to be successful in life. And if you want to be successful in life, you have to have a game plan of what you're going to do. You're not just going to graduate high school and quote unquote, roll the ball out there. Like, oh, we'll see what happens. Like, maybe I'll end up applying to college. Maybe not. Like, I'm not saying you have to have some elaborate, long-winded practice plan, even just something bullet-pointed. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, but having an idea of what you're going to do, not only in sports, but also in life, is so important for these kids. But that's a nice little segue into some of the things that we're going to talk about today. We're going to do a new segment where we have what we call a toilet paper timeout. And this segment is an opportunity for us to rant about anything and everything going on in the world today. The first one for me will be basketball related, but we're people that are around a lot of kids, a lot of different families, a lot of different people, and we see a lot of different things. And sometimes you just need the opportunity to voice your opinion. Sweet, would you care to... You never heard the term toilet paper timeout. I think I introduced that to you this year in AAU. Do you want to explain to them what a toilet paper timeout is and maybe give an example of when you used one this year? I have my example ready to go.
Yeah, we'll go with it here. So we're talking through this podcast about some things we want to, you know, bring to the table. And this is one of our new ideas we have. And we're going to give each other about 30 seconds or to a minute to just do and say whatever you want. And we can't interrupt and those things. But yeah, Toby comes to me and says, hey, let's do this toilet paper timeout. I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? He's like, haven't you been so pissed off in a game that you've called a timeout, you've met the team as they walk off the court, you scream and yell, you draw no X's and O's, you talk no game plan. It's just simply a waste of time, not a waste of time, but you wasted the time to simply scream and get your point across. And that's it. There was no whiteboard. There was no talking. Like, there was nothing. You met the kids, you screamed, you yelled, and then the timeout was over. I'm like, yes, I do that often. Probably way too often. And he's like, yeah, you just waste. It's not a wasted timeout, but it kind of is, because a lot of times you try and call timeouts to use X's and O's and change defenses. But every coach does this. You get down 10 to 2. You get down 11 to 1. You call that timeout, and you meet the boys on the court, and the kids know, you know, and it's just one of those, like, we're going to light you up. Nobody's going to say a word but me, and we're going to break the huddle on me, and you're going to go play harder. And so when Toby told me about this toilet paper timeout, I laughed, because I – probably do it once a game.
Oh, it's horrible. And we call it the toilet paper timeout because you're just wiping your butt with it. Like you have to do it, but you don't, like, it's a waste. There's so many other things you could be doing with it. And it's always the one, it's usually to start a game. Like, you have the game plan, everybody's excited, everybody's ready to go, and the kids go out, and it's just like two on forced turnovers, two layups. Don't get back on defense, layup, offensive rebound, layup. You're down 8-0, and there was no basketball. It was just, we were completely not ready to go. You have to call timeout because you're down 8-0, but it's like nothing has changed in these four possessions. We just have to wake up. It's horrible. But, sweet, I want to give you the floor for your inaugural toilet paper timeout here. So go ahead. What do you got?
Wow, you're going to give me the floor for this, huh? I liked yours better, but that's fine. You know, when we get into this here, we're going to have different topics throughout the course of the year. And so my toilet paper timeout comes from this past July and kind of what I'm getting into right now. And I won't get after it. Here we go. You sports, you are not going anywhere in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. Nobody's watching you. Nobody's on the sideline marking down how great you are and what you did, how far you threw it, or how many points you had. Nobody is out there but mom, dad, grandpa, aunt, uncles, maybe a cousin or a friend if you're close. Nobody else cares. But we have to post this stuff, and we have rankings in the fourth and fifth grade and sixth grade. What are we doing? We are not even close to high school yet. Like, you are youth basketball. Like, we are running. I ran more zoned offense against these youth in July than I ever wanted to ever. Like, what are we doing? Nobody's taking our rank. Like, we have rankings. I see these rankings for fifth and sixth grade. Who is putting these out? Why are we doing them? Nothing is good for these kids at that age. Let them go play the game. Oh, this team's the fifth best team in Ohio. Says who? What website is making money off of fifth graders? Unbelievable, dude. And then these coaches that coach them, they think they're state caliber coaches. They won state because they won the Holiday Invite July Classic that was held at some high school in Columbus. Like, what are we doing? Like, these kids, like, it's the ult. Like, if they don't win these things, it's like, oh, their career's over with. Like, they're never gonna get recruited. What are we doing? Youth sports are crazy. I can't do it. I've become somewhat numb to it. I'm not ranting as much as I want to because, like, I've seen it so long now, and I'm part of it because I coach in it. But I'm just like, look at them, like, look around. There's aunts and uncles here, and grandma and grandpa. That's it. Nobody else is here. But yeah, it's the Holy Grail. It's the state finals. It's the national championship. It's NBA finals game five. And we got to win the game to win the title. It's unbelievable. I can't do it. But you know what? I'm going to keep doing it because I'm an idiot. And that's what we do.
That was fantastic. And I want – I don't think mine's as good as that. I'm not even going to go into mine. I have so many follow-up questions. Number one, what I want to add to this, is the most intense game athletic competition that I was ever in was a fifth grade basketball game against Bellevue when Margaretta was undefeated and Bellevue was undefeated. There were multiple parents thrown out. There were people kicking the bleachers in frustration. Bellevue's families made a tunnel for the fifth graders to run out on when they did the starting lineups. We did the starting lineups because it was the championship. And
yep.
Lights off. I mean, and it was, I remember being like scared at 10 years old. I'm like, oh my God, like all these parents are acting like complete idiots. More intense than anything I've ever really coached or played in. It was stupid, just like you said.
You just hit the nail on the head, dude. Like, you remember that game. That's bullshit to me. Like, that shouldn't be a memory of yours. Like, my memories are winning three league titles in a row, going to regionals and playing against top-notch guys. Like, fifth and sixth grade should not be core memories when it comes to sports. Like, you shouldn't be like, oh, man, remember that? Like you said, well, it was sold out. Like, I remember a junior high game vividly. I don't remember my youth games vividly. I remember some of the teams I played for and where we went and we had a good time. But, like, those, like, we're trying to create these core memories for fifth and sixth grade. Like, you have your whole career of sports ahead of you. Like, you're not having a man. Like, you haven't hit puberty yet, and we're trying to put the title on you, these kids, man. Like, unbelievable. And you nailed it. You nailed it right there.
So many of these kids too, like, because they get addicted to the sensation of these rankings and winning championships that they've been told are important that are not. How many times have you seen these kids that develop early, are a little bit more mature than the other kids, dominate fifth, sixth, maybe even seventh grade, and they do not work on their game. They are not put in positions to grow their game. They're not put in positions to grow athletically or even mature, and they just dominate purely based off physical superiority, and then they don't pan out. They're awful in high school. They're irrelevant, and they're the next biggest thing for 3 years, and they're the same size they were then, and they never got any better. It's so detrimental to the development of our youth players.
Youth sports is fantastic. My kids are in it. I've coached in it. Like, the idea, the level these kids are playing already is far past us. Like, let's admit to that first. Like, I don't need old timers being like, oh, back in our day. No, these kids are playing at a high level, much higher than we ever did. And I'm not that old, and you're not that old, Toby, but they have passed us already at the age of fifth and sixth grade. So with that said, let's keep, like you said, keep developing them. Like, let's not make this the pinnacle of their careers. Like, there's more tournaments and there's more places to go. And these tournaments are getting bigger and cooler and the facilities are fantastic. And so, like, yes, it's a great experience, but, like, don't make it the, we got to hang the banner when we get home game. Like, let's get there when we get to high school. And if you get to college, like, let's get somewhere people actually remember and banners are hung and talked about. Like, keep getting better and developing, but, like, I get into yelling matches with coaches. Like, we're yelling about fifth grade basketball right now, fifth grade football. Like, unbelievable. It's I got nothing, man.
That was just, it was beautiful. That is a great first toilet paper timeout. And you unintentionally segued it into mine where you said, let's talk about where it starts to matter in college. And
Let's
so for
go.
my toilet paper timeout is the D1 or bust mentality that's going on right now. These kids think that if they don't have Division I offers, that there's no point, or I got to go to prep school, or I'm not in the right place, not getting recruited, or you know, they think it's D1 or nothing. Like, go look at some of these facilities, Division I compared to Division II. The Division II schools have better facilities. Some of the NAIs have better facilities than low-level D1s. Just because it's D1 by name doesn't mean it's the best opportunity for you, and that drives me nuts. Furthermore, go look at the landscape of recruiting right now. Somebody told me that the landscape to get recruited at your appropriate level, so a lot of kids that are Division I talents are not going Division I right now because it's the toughest landscape in the history of, I'm talking basketball specifically, in basketball. They said it's worse than the 60s when you used to have to go out to random high school games and guess that, oh, this is a good high school. Maybe they have a player for us. There's so much technology and so much stuff going on right now that you never have to go to a high school game if you don't want to. They said it's the worst recruiting landscape there ever is, and it's all because of the transfer portal. Think about it like this. If you have a choice, like, let's talk NFL because it's about to be the start of the NFL season. Blank slate. Every player is available to be drafted into the NFL. Cleveland Browns have the first pick. Everybody's in the thing. Who's going number one overall? It's going to be Patrick Mahomes. Big shocker to everybody. Guess what? The next 10 picks, the next 10, maybe more, are all going to be guys that have already played in the NFL because they are proven commodities. There may not be a rookie taken until the second round. Understand that when you are being recruited for basketball, you are a rookie. You have no proven track record of production. Think about that. Think about it. I can go get somebody that in my league or a league that's rivaling our league, I can get somebody that's averaging 18 a game shooting 45% from three, or I can go get you who's been playing against high school competition, not playing that hard because you're so much better than everyone, try to bring you in, try to get your body right. Like, it makes no sense. Not to mention, if you get offered a scholarship, you are getting a generational wealth-changing opportunity. You have no college debt. I wanted to look up what the average amount of student loan is right now, but it's upwards of like $50,000 to $100,000. You are being handed a check for that because you are good at basketball. Go to Division II. Go NAIA. Furthermore, if you are that good, go perform right away. These kids aren't even ready for Division II and NAIA. Go perform and then transfer up if you want those D1 dreams. The other thing is, if you're going to be in debt anyway, why don't you look at Division III options? It is cool that only 1% of basketball players get to play college basketball. Go play D3. If you're going to be in college debt anyway, everyone's like, oh, I don't want to pay to play. Well, go play because you're going to be in debt anyway. You get to make lifelong friends. Sweet. You played D3. You made so many lifelong friends, so many connections. I coached Division III basketball. It's great. And guess what? If you perform, there's that added bonus where you could transfer up and get that generational wealth. Like, I don't understand why everyone needs to be Division I right off the rip. There's so many opportunities. Run your own race. Do what fits you. And just, it blows my mind. It blows my mind. You are in the 1% and giving life-changing opportunities, and you will not even acknowledge it because you want a label. Oh, sweet, it drives me nuts. You want to go to a crappy college 12 hours away from home because it's D1, rather than stay in the state of Ohio, go to school for free, play in a system that fits you, and if you really want to move up from there, do it. But I promise you, you're not going to want to go anywhere because you're going to love it. That was way longer than I wanted to go on it, but it drives me nuts. These kids are so blessed. They should be so thankful for any opportunity. Division III up. Calm me down.
All right, I'll jump in here. Hey, great rant. Great one. It's you fed off of my start with the youth. And then so the youth is that, and now the high school level is what you went to. Like, youth is all about winning these titles and getting the rankings. But then, like you said, as you get to high school, it's about all of a sudden now D1 or bust. And you nailed it. I've gone to Division. I went to Division III, went to Bluffton University. It was 15 minutes from my house, Toby. There was three stop. I didn't even go through a stoplight, bro. I went three stop signs. That's it. And so I never came home. I hung out on campus. Like you said, my best friends to this day are guys I played ball with. I'm going golfing with them later today. We have get-togethers on the weekend. We have events that we throughout the course of the year. they are my core people that I need in my life. The problem is we all live kind of far away from each other. A lot of them are in Columbus, which is fine. But if I didn't play Division III, I wouldn't have that. Yes, I could have maybe walked on to Division II and, like you said, worked my way up and maybe got a scholarship. But, like, the opportunity and the finances worked for me. The chance to play was there for me. And so, like, I turned down, I guess, turned down, I don't know, a Division II opportunity maybe to go play D3. And I have zero regrets for it. I absolutely loved it. And these opportunities, you nailed it. College, I tell kids all the time, college basketball is different. College athletics is different. But the person you become and the people you grow with playing college sports, I would put at the top of the list, man. These people that you live with every single day and practice with and eat dinner with, and you become 18-year-old kids to 22-year-old adults in those 4 years or 5 years together, there is not a price tag. I'm telling you, man, there's not a price tag for it. Like, those, we'll laugh and make and talk about the stories we have from those 4 years. And yeah, you can say the average college debt is $40,000 or whatever it could be, but if you're going to get an education and you need a four-year degree, look into it, any level, like you said, because it's not for everybody. But at the same time, the percentage is low and the opportunity in front of you, you got to take it. I'm kind of getting another rant, because college athletics in Division III or any division, you will thoroughly enjoy if you put yourself, Toby, you know this, in the right situation. And I chose the right situation, and we had friends that for a lifetime then.
Here's the other thing. I'm just talking about the landscape, and I don't want to crush anyone's dreams. And some of these kids are Division I talents. I get it. And you don't want to jump the gun early, but at the same time, read the temperature in the room. So let's talk about, like, okay, the housing market is awful right now. Okay. The landscape for basketball recruiting is awful right now. I can either complain and wait and buy a house, right? Like, complain, like, oh, the house isn't opening up, I'm getting screwed over. And then eventually just say, okay, screw it, and go buy a house at a terrible interest rate and be locked into a house that's super inflated, like these kids want to do. They want to just kind of wait and see and go to prep school and go juke, whatever. And then they end up at a crappy D1, and it's not that it's all cracked up to be. Whereas read the temperature in the room. All things in sports are transferable to life. It's just like buying a house. Wait, go rent somewhere for cheap. Go find something for cheap and wait your time until the right opportunity presents itself. Go Division II, go Division III for a few years, and maybe the right opportunity will present itself. Or, you know, maybe it's just a bad time to try to get those D1 dreams. It might just simply be a bad time to buy a house and it didn't work out for you. That's okay. There's many, many great things that come from the opportunities that's presented with you. I wish more people were thankful for the things that they have. It's never enough. And I think that's tough. Like, what are we setting people up to deal with in life if you're just never content with what you have?
Look at you making real life, I'm going to get this wrong, probably, analogies.
We got to get into technical fouls later.
We'll get there. But look at you making real life analogies about the housing market and getting a college scholarship. Like, unbelievable. Look at you. You're just a modern Colin Coward, just creating these waves of connection and just making it easy for everybody to understand. You know, maybe our younger audience has no idea what you're talking about, but our older audience does. And so, just wow, unbelievable connections you're making. Like, I'm sitting over there like, that is really good connections there, Toby. I, on the other hand, would just be like, well, you're just not doing the right thing. And you're comparing it to renting and buying and waiting your time. And that's fantastic, man. I mean, yeah. And I just used a big word for the first time probably in 3 months since I'm a school teacher and been all. So I gotta get my language up and better. But fantastic analogies there, man. Really good stuff.
It's funny because now, Sweet, again, you're just a natural, just such a natural. It's a great segue into the next thing we want to do, which is we're going to start adding some technical fouls into this podcast. So obviously Sweet and I have been teed before coaching basketball, but there's some things that pretty much automatically get you teed. You know, any type of F-bomb usually gets you teed right away, Sweet. In this podcast, we have two things that are going to get us teed right away. So for Sweet, Sweet gets a technical foul anytime he mispronounces a word. So that's why he was so hesitant to say analogy, or he misuses a word. Mispronounce, misuse a word, technical foul for Sweet. And for me, it's anytime I make fun or bully Sweet for anything on this podcast. We would like to get up to 3 technical fouls for each of us. So those were the ones that we came up for each other. Please, if you have some ideas on technical fouls for us, email us. We want some more listener involvement. Our email is point2post@yahoo.com, and it's all lowercase, just like that. Also, we wanted to get some giveaways going. As you can see, Sweet has the Bing Bong hat. I got the Bing Bong shirt on. I'll stand up here.
Bing Bong.
If you want to email us and give us some suggestions of topics that you would like to hear about, we alluded to this on the last podcast. We want some more engagement and involvement from you guys. If we end up using your topic or end up using your technical foul suggestions, we will get you free Bing Bong gear. So that is our giveaway option to try to get more connected with you guys.
Toby, when you say point two, are you talking about the number two or the word two?
You know, when I edit this, I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to put the email right up on the screen. For our listeners, it is the number two. So it is point, the number two, post@yahoo.com.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. And so listeners, like we said, I mean, we want topics. You know, we have a list of things that we want to get into. And as the seasons approach for both of us, there's more things we're going to dive into. You know, summertime is kind of quiet when it comes to basketball. We're lucky that we're in with AAU stuff, but, that's something we want to get you guys involved in. And we want to use some of your topics and talk about your topics as we go further into this stuff. But with that being said, the technical fouls, first and foremost, you have to catch it. Let's make some guidelines here, Toby.
Yep.
You have to catch it. If a fan catches it, we got to figure something out for them and help them out with it. My problem is I'm just so used to Toby bullying me. I probably won't ever call a technical foul on him.
I would like to note for the record before you keep going and spewing this vitriol towards me. Sweet, two of me could fit in one of you. Like
there's that's bullying right there. I mean, you just nailed it.
How is that bullying? That's fact. And you're afraid of me. It's like a mean cat. It's like a mean cat and like a giant elephant's afraid of it or something like that. Like you're the elephant afraid of the mouse.
Let's let everybody understand something here. So we're at practice in March for AU, and I'm bent down on a knee trying to get something out of my bag. And here comes, since you brought it up, we'll call him the mouse. Here comes the mouse, jumps on the elephant's back and choke holds him until he can't breathe anymore. Like, and what am I supposed to do? Just like throw him off of me and hurt the little guy? Like, I got to take care of him. So
here's the thing. Like felines are opportunistic predators, and I saw an opportunity. When am I ever going to be able to reach up and get at your neck ever again? Like you were just so vulnerable. It was like a caribou, and I just saw my opportunity to pounce. And what? You know, credit to you. Like you tapped out. You were man enough to admit that you couldn't breathe. Like I'm not convinced you could have bucked me off. Like that was a good chokehold. Like it wasn't a playful one. Like I was actually choking Sweet out.
All right, Toby, let me ask you a question. You're a first-year head coach. Now, you've coached AAU and stuff like that, but this is a different world in AAU. My first 2 years as head coaching, I was, and my old man hates me for this, I was getting technical fouls. I feel like every 2 games, every 3 games, I think I had to stretch it like 4 straight games in a row. I'll tell you about my – worst technical here, and it's not my worst, but like the one that like kind of made me like, oh God, I need to calm down. I'll tell you about that in a second. Did you get teed up this year, Toby?
No.
So my dad got 3 technicals in like 27 years. Like I got 3 technicals in the first 6 games of my coaching career. Like, I look at a technical because you fans, a lot of you probably understand this, but if you get 2 technical fouls as a coach, you're thrown out of the game. And then you have to miss the next two games and go to Columbus, pay $100 for anger management. So like, I'm on this waiver of like two technical fouls way too often. But like, I feel like the first one's like, if I don't use it, I lose it. And like, I used it way too much. So my worst technical foul as a coach, and I have had some bad ones. We're my second year head coach in at Old Fort, and we're at Gibsonburg. And we come out, they pressure the whole game. We've worked on breaking presses every which way. They run man, they run diamond, they run every press, and they just keep coming at you, keep pressing. And we were young and not really experienced at the ball handling. So like, we come out and they're pressing us, and like you said, turnover, timeout, toilet papered it, screamed at them, like. Looking back, I should have drawn up the press breaker more where the team was young, but I instead just screamed like I was going to fix it by doing that. And it just kept getting worse. And so in high school, it's 8 minute quarters. It's 5:21 in the first quarter. So 3 minutes, not even 3 minutes have gone by. My point guard's kind of getting right up the sideline by the defender. And the referee starts to run in front of me. And I ride him and scream at him, acting like I'm the defender.
Oh God.
Yeah, it was awful. And so at 5:21, I mean, like, I run the course of the bench with him and screamed at him the whole way. Turns, bangs me. As I sit down, I see my dad walking into the gym for the first time. And he looks over at me and just shakes his head. And I'm like, okay, it's time for me to try to tighten some things up a little bit at that point. So 5:21 in the first quarter, I got rung up.
I can just picture you riding the official the whole way down the bench.
Well, you nailed it. I'm a huge guy. And so I've gotten other technicals by just simply hovering over top of people and screaming at them like a jerk. But
so you've gotten technicals just for intimidating people, yet you claim that you're bullied by me. Just, I want the record to note that.
Yes, correct. Yeah. I am. I'll take every opportunity I can. There's no question about that. But
so one thing that was interesting for me coaching, you know, when we coached on the Nike circuit or whatever, sweet, a lot of these guys that are officiating are trying to move up or get Division I officiating jobs. And so we had a scenario where my kid rebounded the ball and it was NBA rules on the circuit. So I wanted to get a timeout right away to advance the ball. There was an issue because I was screaming timeout. They didn't hear me and my kid took off dribbling and I'm screaming timeout and I'm saying I called it right when he rebounded it and they weren't going to let me advance the ball. He said they ended up giving it to me and saying he called it right when he came down with it, blah, blah, blah. We didn't hear him. He said, in that situation, in the future, he's like, just come get me. Like, you can come out of your box a little bit. Come get me because it's a close game. Come get me so I can award it correctly. So then we go down to the Peach Jam. Same exact scenario happens, and I run down there to try it because I was told by the one official to come get him. And this dude not only doesn't give me the timeout, but threatens to bang me for a tee and throw me out for running down out of my coach's box and saying, we're not going to act like that. We're not going to do this. And I'm like, you know, what do I even say? I was like, yeah, I look like an idiot right now, but I was told in the same exact scenario literally 2 weeks ago to come get you. So it didn't happen, but I can't explain that to the guy in the heat of the moment. And I just ended up being like, sorry, but like that cracks me up too. Like, I don't know, man, it's a tough situation, but, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Yes, I do. I do. I mean, I know the game you're talking about. I am going to find the video. I'm going to clip it, and I'm going to tag it to this episode when we post it on Twitter, or sorry, X. So you fans, after you listen for a while, we'll let it sit out there. I'll find the video, and I'll post it on there. Toby says he ran down the court. He ran onto the court 6-8 feet to get this referee. Now, like he said, he did kind of squat down and try to stay lower. That's something I always do. I change my elevation, I call it. When I start to get mad, I try to de-elevate and go down to like a squatting position. So I'm yelling up at the referee, not down at the referee. Something I've learned being a big guy, that these things you have to do. But Toby ran, you ran onto the court to try to stop this referee. He was so mad at you. It was awesome.
He was not pleased. He was not pleased. So I only had one technical to my name in this career. Maybe my AAU kids can catch me for lying. I don't remember. Maybe I had some other ones with them coming up. But the one big one that I remember is this would have been 2-3 years ago, sweet. This was right before we got like the nice financial package to be on Hoop Group. So this is AAU. And so I would have had the 17Us, and it would have been like Dylan Holler, Adam Turbin, Dalen Green, all those guys. And so we were at Bill Hensley, which is one of the biggest AAU tournaments, not shoe related, in the country and the region. And it was a big deal because we were in the championship of the platinum in that, which is the top thing. So like that's outside of winning shoe circuit games, like that's one of the biggest deals around. And at that time, the Buckets organization was trying to fight up to gain credibility, to get on these circuits, whatever. So this was the year before we got the Hoop Group financial package. And the year after that, we obviously got the Nike deal. Anyway, so it's a big game, really important game. We're playing All Ohio Select. And it's funny because that's All Ohio Red's second team. But these guys were loaded. They were really good. All for some reason, we got a terrific draw, and all the shoe teams were on the same side as All Ohio Select. And so they're just banging, beating shoe teams. I think they beat two or three to get to the championship. Our road wasn't easy, but it wasn't anything like the gauntlet they had just ran. So it worked. We got a good draw. Worked out well. We're in the championship. Really close game. It's a two-point game. And Dylan Holler runs through a pass and gets a steal going the other way. And like we talked about, a lot of times at these big tournaments, refs are being evaluated because they're trying to move up or get college jobs. There is 1 minute left in the championship game at the biggest tournament going on in the region at the time. And Dylan lays the ball in off the backboard. It goes off the backboard. It is going down to fall in the basket, like breakaway layup. The kid trailing from behind jumps up and swats the ball off the rim. And everybody in the gym goes bananas. Everybody in the gym saw it except the three officials officiating the game. And I lose it. I lose my mind. I get in the ref's face, completely freak out, and they snap team me. And I had not said a word to him the whole game. I probably deserve that. But like, when the whole gym freaks out like that, and I'm sure your evaluator is going to tell you after the game, like, you missed that, like, to snap team me. And then I got even more mad because they snap teed me. I said, you're going to go over there to your evaluator, and he's going to tell you you missed the biggest call in the whole tournament, and then you team me on top of it. I said, you took this game away from my kids. Long story short, they send their kid to the free throw line. Both free throws, I've never seen a ball go deeper into the basket and pop out. All the way down, pop out. All the way down, pop out. It did not matter. And then they got the ball back. Like, don't get me wrong, we should have had the 2 points, but like, that could have really screwed. It could have been a tie game.
Yeah.
Under a minute left their ball, and the kid misses both free throws. Wild. But I will never forget that. And their kid was literally laughing as I was getting teed up because he knew he blatantly goaltended that, and these guys missed it. So I was fired. Thank God we still won that game, because I would have felt bad if that cost my kids. But I mean, everybody was like, what in the world are we doing?
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one. That's I get that. My JV coach always has a good read on me during games and is like, sweet, not now. And a lot of times it's because of the score and the situation, and you know, you're fighting back and you need everything to go your way a lot of times. And that's a lot of times where the technicals come from with coaches, is we're trying to get that extra advantage for our kids. And it's definitely not easy because it's an emotional game and you're right on top of each other. The fans are on top. That's why I love the game. Like, the fans are right there. We're right there. The referees are right there. Like, it's there and everybody can see your emotion. You're not hiding behind the helmet. You're not hiding further away like you are in football. Like, you know when Coach Sweet's mad. You know when Coach Sweet's happy, because you can see it in timeouts. You can see it. You can see when he's composed. And so those are things that also I try to explain to my kids. Like, if you're a young player and you're listening to this stuff and you're trying to take some nuggets away, that's something to remember. You're always being watched. Your actions and your body language and how you respond to adversity, especially at the higher level, these 16s and 17s, college coaches are watching that. And that's something that you need to hold yourself accountable to. And it took me a while as both a player and a coach to understand that. And that's something I'm really trying to instill in both my sons and my kids that play for me that have become basically like my sons, because I'm around them so much. You have to carry yourself differently because it's so easy to see it on the court. And that's part of the reason I love this game, but it's also one of the things you have to grow because it's hard because you're watched the whole time. And like you said, the referees are the same way too, because they see everything that's being done. And when they miss a call, everyone in the gym knows it and they're getting yelled at. But if me or you miss, you know, something, we get yelled at. If our kids screw up something, we yell at them. It's just a never ending cycle. And so you have to learn to compose yourself and learn and grow. And that's something I did as a young coach. And I think I'm a better coach now because of those days. But I look back at them, I'm not proud of them, but I do have to talk about them because I have to show my kids you do grow and you do get better at it. And your body language speaks. And that's something as a young player, fifth, sixth grade, or in high school, remember that and carry yourself a different way because you are a basketball player. And being a basketball player to me is outstanding. So
well put, Sweet. Well put. So just yeah. Just to kind of wrap up, I'll pass it off to Sweet here in a second to preview the next episode what we're going to talk about on that. But again, we want some involvement from you guys. If you have topics that you want to hear us talk about, please send it our way. I know some people like the more X's and O's based stuff. Some people liked the stories. Anything you want to hear, we are open to. Again, if we do end up using your topic, we will send you some Bing Bong gear. Again, that is post@yahoo.com. And then if you can think of some suggestions for the other two technical foul criterias for each of us. So we got a Sweet mispronouncing or misusing words and me bullying Sweet. If you can think of anything else for that and we end up using it again, we'll send you some gear. Just want to get more connected with you guys. Sweet, what do we got to look forward to?
You know, so the next episode here, we're coming to the end of August, and we're going to start preseason stuff with basketball as high school coaches. And I want to kind of talk about some simple things that players can do on their own, some things they can do together. I'm actually bringing the Olympics in the 3-on-3 basketball from the Olympics, and we're going to talk about that because that's something as I watched this past 2 weeks, I really enjoyed it, and it's something I want to try to incorporate into my preseason. So we're going to talk about preseason stuff and probably more more drills that we can do to as an individual and as a group of 3 to 4 kids that you can do on your own to get better. And so look forward to that episode dropping because it will be something as a player you can do and listen to and learn from. And as a coach, hopefully we can help you maybe add a few tools to your toolbox for the preseason to get involved with your kids a little bit more. Like I said, we're a basketball podcast and we love talking basketball. And so we try to stay with what the season is and this preseason coming up for us.
Well said, Sweet. You want to get us out of here?
Hey, thanks for listening to the Point to Post podcast. I'm your point.
I missed technical foul right off the rip.
What do you mean? Man. I ran point
you
guard.
Missed for not, you never ball. Played point guard. Now you're lying. That makes it worse.
I was a point to post. I brought the ball up, passed it off.
What are we going to do when you get teed? I feel like that we got to put a dollar in the kitty or something. Like
I think every 3 tees, we got to do something. I was thinking about that too as we were talking about it. Something will evolve. I don't think right away on the first tee, but as maybe 3 tees.
All right, 3 tees. Well, you got 1 tee, and then I'm going to send you to anger management in Columbus.
I may have three tees in an episode, so we got to be careful here. All right. Hey, thanks for listening to Point to Post podcast. I'm your post player, Eric Sweet, with my point guard next to me, Toby Miller. We enjoyed having you. Remember, send those information to us that you want us to talk about the next episode. We enjoy you listening to us. Point to Post podcast. We're out of here.
Bing bong.